So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I want you to see this before we go any further here with the works of the Holy Spirit. Remember anything from the past? He seals it. We're sealed, right? He's considered given us his earnest, which is all we see here that's a blessing, is just a minuscule of a down payment, of an earnest payment for what we have coming. The Holy Spirit, is the job of the Holy Spirit to assure us of being children of God and sons of God. If we ever begin to doubt that, it's because we're quenching and grieving the Spirit. People used to say it was the devil, but I see more and more now that it's just the fact that we quench the Spirit. That's all. Sometimes the devil does get an awful lot of credit that isn't really due him. The devil will be happy that we're not reading our Bible and we're getting our doubts and everything, but the Spirit of God is what gives us our assurance, gives us a victorious life. And it's sad that there are those that think that we just automatically get it. We get filled with the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean we got victory. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to let us walk to get that victory. So, but it's still there. It's still the potential is there. Victorious life, you know. You know, that's where some of the Baptist crowd, a lot of the Christians out there criticize you, or me, or whatever. You're having some difficulties in your life, having some challenges, not real happy tonight. Well, what have you done wrong? You're quenching the Spirit. That isn't the case. This doesn't always have to be the case at all. Then there's a whole series of things it does in John 14. There, it brings things to our remembrance. It teaches us the words of Jesus Christ. It guides us into all truth. And that's even why I say sometimes we go to visit somebody's house if you really want to say something that's braggadocious or arrogant. And they say, you know, I've been praying lately for God to show me the truth. And then you just go, I'm here, you know. And it's not because you're the truth, but you do have the truth. And so without saying that to people, we have to realize that quite often we are answers to people's prayer. You know, if they're praying about the Bible confusion or whatever. I was talking with the copier repairman yesterday. Last night we emptied the toner on the copier over the telephone, which was quite interesting. So don't, by the way, Tyler and the boys, don't walk out the side door, the back side door out there, for quite a while. Because that's where the toner's at. And that snow is really ugly. And I imagine when the snow melts, the toner will still be really ugly. So we'll have to get that down into the dirt somehow. But he said, I gave him a Bible, about a half a year ago when he came and did some repairs. He doesn't charge us all the times he comes out, which is pretty neat, but he's having a hard time with business. Munn's copiers, if you need any copy work done or repaired. But he took that Bible home, and he's reading some stuff out of Timothy. And he said, I saw a couple of good verses. He said, I thought just were really good. And one of them, I took them to my mother, and I showed them to her, and her Bible didn't say the same thing. And he said, I just can't get over this. What is this? It was fun, you know. And then he started to tell me, you know, none of the Bibles match what the Dead Sea Scrolls should. Then he's into this. There's a book supposed to be in the Bible. It's called Nicodemus. The book of Nicodemus isn't in the Bible. And he says, well, where's the book of Nicodemus? And I said, well, how about if I take you to lunch today or tomorrow? Before my wife gets back, I'll have some time, and we'll just yak about this kind of stuff. So maybe tomorrow or Friday, his name is, I can't even think of his name now. Yeah, Munch, but... take him out to lunch, and we'll just sit down and talk about stuff. You know, isn't that frustrating? I mean, he's got the right idea. He knows there's a problem, and yet he's been fed some of this other junk, Catholic stuff, this Apocrypha and extra canonical books. I think canon books or whatever, you know, that are the missing books is what they call them, and he's fallen from that. But I don't think that'll take very long to show him. And I keep praying that they would come here sometime. But it would be one of those family shocks. It should be a family shakeup between him and his wife and the kids if they were to come. But you just pray that God would provide us how to handle those situations for him. Nice guy. I can't think of his first name. Munn. Tim? Tim Munn, no. Yeah, it's a real short one. So we talked in there, gives us freedom from law of sin and death. Did we get that far? We got through that one, didn't we? Last week, law from sin and death. I mean, it's actually a law. The law that was established was when Adam blew it and everything, and that law was from that point on. And he takes us from that thing. That's not a problem. We did talk about that stuff in Corinthians, I think, about the Holy Spirit's what interprets and applies the deep things of God. You know, I think sometimes we have a tendency to forget that there's actually a person in us. And we know it's Christ. Christ is in us and everything, but we also know that Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. So, and he can be everywhere at once. He's God and everything like that. But he did send us a person, and that's the Comforter in John chapter 14. And we actually have a person in us. You know, there's somebody there. We don't understand it. It's a mystery regarding the church. It's a mystery regarding the Holy Spirit. As it says, they're manifest in the flesh. It's a mystery. But we forget that. I do sometimes. We're reading our Bibles and we're praying and we're having our difficult times through the day, and we want to get back into our Bibles, and we need to get back into our Bibles. But the Bible is just a link to the Lord. It isn't just the pages and the ink, you know. And yet you go so far to say this is just pages and ink. Well, no, it is not just pages and ink either. It is the link between the physical world and the spiritual world, and it's the Word of God, and it's been here. You know, about the only thing this book has left to support itself, but people can't argue, but they just deny it, and that's the prophecy over all the years. This one book right here has prophecy, and they've all come true. Nobody else can say that. And that's about all we got left to say to somebody, well, that's the book that was written 1600. And that sure had us pegged way back then, blah, 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 and the Jews, and then the words go back to Jesus and the whole thing. It's running out of steam, though, in this country. But it's still the Holy Spirit that's doing all this. When we say it's the Word of God that separates us from our soul and our flesh, you know, that some doctor doesn't come along here and, you know, but a doctor does come along and do that. It's a spiritual thing. And that's because it's the Holy Spirit that's in this Bible. And we grab a hold of that thing, then we'll realize a little bit more what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 has to say. And that's where it's a real simple thing, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I think it's in, I think it's the last chapter in Thessalonians here, where it tells us, 1 Thessalonians there, chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. That's a big one. I mean, we're going to learn some more things tonight that the Holy Spirit does. And you realize as we finish this up, hopefully tonight or maybe next Wednesday night, we will see that these are all the things that we're supposed to get as being a Christian. And it's all the job of the Holy Spirit. It's not our job. And yet we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do these things, and yet the Holy Spirit has us doing them. It's a strange thing. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit can't do it without us, as much as we'd like Him to. And yet there are some times in my personal life that I've had difficulties and challenges and problems, and it's like when I finally just prayed about it and forgot about it and got busy serving the Lord, all of a sudden, a couple months later, I realized, oh, man, that hasn't been in my life for a long time. That's a victory. I just forgot. Has that ever happened? I mean, it's almost like the Holy Spirit does solve some things for us if we would just what? Get out of the way. And yet that's even doing something. I just don't believe the Holy Spirit forces himself on us and makes things right. There has to be something we've got to. If all we have to do is get out of the way, that's something. Because isn't that hard? That's a hard thing to do, to get out of the way of stuff. But the one I want to look at tonight a little bit is that back in that Ephesians 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know, that's grieve. Here's the old 1828 definition of grieve. And picture this, that this is what we're not supposed to do to the Holy Spirit. To give pain of mind or heart. You know, you grieve somebody. You hurt their feelings. It says to afflict, to wound the feelings, to make sorrowful, to mourn, to excite regret in. Wouldn't that be a bad thought, to think that the Holy Spirit would regret coming into us after all that He's done for us, all He's done in the Old Testament and for the Lord and everything? To offend, to displease, to provoke. And so here we are as Christians. We're aware of the fact that, you know, nothing really should offend us. That's what it says in the Psalms. And yet the Holy Spirit is in some ways offendable. We can grieve it. So I guess that tells me that those things that he's trying to do, if we fight him, we grieve him. And that grieving, it bothers me to grieve somebody. You know, our pride doesn't want anybody to know that we are grieving over something, you know. I didn't grieve a whole lot over having Beauty be put to sleep, but there were a couple moments it was like, oh, no, cut it out, just talk, cut it out, okay, I'll cut it out, I won't feel that way. There's a little grieving going on over this dog, you know, thinking more that it was David's friend through all of his homeschool years. This dog was there for his friend. And then knowing when David went off to the Marines, Beauty was kind of mom's link to David. So there was something more than just a dog there. And so I know that she grieved, and David told me she was crying the other day when she talked to him. And David said, I'm sure glad you had it done before she got home. She just doesn't need to be here when she gets home. I do need to go out there. Some of those footprints haven't melted away yet. I've got to go out there and brush some of those things away. But we grieve over things, and we do. Probably we don't want to be seen grieving. But I wonder how much we don't want to grieve somebody else. You know? I mean, people can get mad at me, and I get over it, and whatever, I suppose. And but I sure hate to grieve somebody. You know, hurt their feelings as such. I can say some stuff to folks in a message much easier than I can face-to-face, but if it hurts people and it needs to, I'd make a lousy doctor. I'd make a lousy vet. It's hard enough doing spiritual operations and things. I don't want to grieve people. And I think sometimes we are too easy to, we're too willing to grieve people, or we don't, or else maybe we don't even worry or concern ourselves about grieving somebody. You know, we may be totally right in what we're going to say or what we're thinking or what we're doing, and the other person doesn't understand, that's one thing. But if the other person is hurt, that, believe it or not, that does bother me. I don't like to grieve somebody, hurt somebody's feelings, give them pain in their mind as such, you know, make somebody sorrowful. Remember, that's, I guess, one of the things Gip said when he was first here. Remember, he said, when I asked him, which I'll never do again, ask a pastor guy publicly, what are your thoughts? What is his suggestion? Remember when I asked him that? And he said, you're gonna try to please everybody. It's not going to happen. Well, that does bother me. Well, I hope you're that way, too. And yet we grieve the Holy Spirit. And as much as I don't want to grieve you folks, I mean, you know, you didn't do as much as the Lord's done for me. And no offense, I mean, you've bent over backwards for things, you've helped us. I've gained 8 pounds, it's all your fault. You know, you've done me way too well. But grieving. Grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you quenched the Holy Spirit. You're not reading your Bible. Okay, I can put up with that, I quenched him. I didn't let him do his work today. Maybe tomorrow he can get through. Well, we can be tough, we can be hard, and we can be stubborn and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible says that we can grieve him. See, and that's hurtful. You know, man, I'm sorry, Lord. I mean, you know, look at this verse. Look at Mark chapter 3. Well, I know we're talking about the Lord. I mean, he had to go through an awful lot of stuff on the cross and everything. He can put up with me. Well, that's pretty selfish, you know, pretty hard and selfish attitude. You know, When I was a teen, or when I was younger, or when I was even in college, and even probably to this day yet, I probably still grieve my mother once in a while. You know, that's a crummy thought, but kids don't usually realize that. Mom and dad may even be wrong, and the kid might even be right. Wouldn't that be something? We just don't ever let our kids know when they're right, even though they are, you know. But they need to realize sometimes that they grieve their parents. It grieves their parents. You know. It hurts their parents. It's not just a conflict of interest. It's not just a little argument or something. And us parents, man, we're just not gonna let our kids know that we're hurt. We're just not gonna let them know that. But we grieve our parents. I mean to tell you, do you have any idea what Nancy's done for you in your life? You know.
No.
And yet, do Do you know how often you've actually grieved her? We don't realize that kind of thing, you know. And it could go, I suppose you've even grieved, parents don't grieve their children. Or children don't, they do. We've hurt our children, our kids' feelings, and that's a, man, you're sure being sensitive tonight. No, I'm just realizing that all these things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, we know that we're not to quench the Lord and quench the Spirit, but we have to remember we grieve Him too. We grieve Him. Look at Mark chapter 3. This is about the Lord Himself, so we know that the Lord, He sends us the Comforter, so they're all kind of intertwined, part of the Trinity, but still. Chapter 3 of Mark, He says, and He entered again into the synagogue. This is the Lord here. 1. And He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched Him, whether He would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse Him. I mean, this is even just the Lord. It just, well, you're watching to get Him, you know. Remember Jeremiah? Always watching for His halting. He's tired. People all want by familiars is what it is, His people that know Him. And He saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And He said unto them, this is the crowd watching, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when He had looked around, when He had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, He saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and could find out a way to kill Him. And yet, he was grieved, but he had to do what he had to do. And it's not a bad thing to do a good thing on the Sabbath. I mean, that's a wild thing. And yet he knew that when he gets done, they're going to try to kill him over this thing. And yet, he knew that they had a hard heart, right? The hardness of their hearts. And he looked on them with anger. But between those two things, he grieved. He cared. So, if we see there that there was anger, and he knew that there was a hardness of the heart there, but he still cared. He grieved. And so that tells me that when we are hard-hearted and we are fighting the Lord and fighting all the right things that we're going to see here that the Lord wants to do and through the Comforter and everything, then we know that we're all covered and we're blessed and none of our sins is imputed to us, but yet it grieves Him. You know, so whatever's on this list in your notes there, whatever it is that you're having a hard time with, that grieves the Lord. Whatever you're not having a hard time, what you're not having a hard time, and He's giving you victory, well, that must be a joy to the Lord. It's just like wives and husbands. I mean, how many years does a couple have to be married before they don't care whether the other person grieves over their actions or not? You know. Oh, I think a lot of people get there. I mean, because the marriages that are just falling apart, they don't care that the other person's hurt. They'll just be glad to hurt them. Why, you are just, and they just let them have it. Not knowing, or at least not caring, that it hurts them. I guess people want to hurt people, you know. Before I got saved, I know a specific time, I purposely went and grieved a lady to the point where she ended up in the hospital. An older lady, and she was really unfair and crummy to us. And my typical Simon of Garfunkel Woodstock era, just went and let her have it with my mouth, with my words. And my words put her into the hospital. It didn't bother me at all. But it's bothered me ever since I got saved. I've never forgotten about that time. Now she's dead and gone, and you know, I don't imagine she was saved, but then I guess I don't know that in those days. World War II veteran mother, back in those era, probably could have been a saved. She didn't act like a saved lady, but doesn't justify it, but I grieved her enough to put her in the hospital, just by my words. You know? You ever done that with anybody? You ever grieved anybody? Made somebody so they're hurt their feelings? If you say no, well, I bet you grieved the Holy Spirit. Just by, you know, whatever. And when somebody's hurt your feelings, or grieved you, how do you respond? Especially if the next day they all of a sudden want to talk to you like it's no big deal, like they kind of forgot about it. And you're thinking to yourself, now this person's, do I need to just slap this person one time and let them know that I haven't forgotten? Or are we willing to forgive and forget and go on too? Well, I know what the Lord does. I mean, the moment you make that effort to get right, He's there, right? Look at Song of, well, this wasn't what I planned at all tonight. I've been doing that a lot lately. Song of Solomon, let's look at that. Yeah, I think you know where I'm going to this thing, but I'll show you anyway. I'd love to go through Song of Solomon again, especially with David getting married. He asked me a number of years ago to write a book about it. Should have done it when he asked. Should have done a lot of things when I was told. It's chapter 5. And, oh, it's probably right around 8, 9. Let's see, it's around 6. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. Chapter 5, verse 6. And so the Lord's kind of gone. Now, we know we don't lose our salvation, but if ever we lost fellowship a little bit because we grieved the Holy Spirit, there is an application. You ever been grieved? You grieve somebody. You don't have that closeness all of a sudden. Somebody's hurt. You hurt their feelings. Well, look at 7. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. So she's getting beat up in the community there. Look at verse 9. In fact, we got a tract about this. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Tell me why your Savior is better than mine. That's what's going on here for us. And look what she does in verse 10. She proceeds to tell him. Well, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. He goes and describes the whole thing. She goes and describes the whole thing. This is a marvelous, marvelous guy. She can't find him. Look at chapter 6. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that may seek him with thee? My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Thou art beautiful, O my love. Right off the bat, she finds him, and there isn't anything there but, you know, for what it's worth, her true love, you know. He just forgot all about it, and just right back with her. Just, I mean, there's nothing. By the way, how come you left? Did you see that you were wrong when you left? See, he doesn't even do that. He just goes right back and just starts telling how marvelous and wonderful she is. Right off the bat. So, that's a marvelous thing to think that maybe 10 minutes ago we were grieving the Holy Spirit, and all you do is you just crack open that Bible and you start reading, and man, I'm sorry, Lord, I kind of jerked through that day, didn't I? That, you know, that Lord is just, He's just right there. Just right there. Even if you plan, I believe this, that even if you knew you were doing wrong, the presumptuous sins Paul prays about, and even if you did something on purpose and you purposely grieved him, and quite somebody grieved him, the moment you get it right, the moment he's back, even the 100 millionth time. Isn't that a marvelous thing? We're not that way. Yes, you hurt my, you know, somebody comes up and they apologize to you because they know they hurt your feelings. Some people, you can just see it in their face. I mean, you can just see, oh, move. Well, I think I said the wrong thing. But if somebody comes up to you and your feelings were hurt, and somebody comes up to you and they apologize to you, and sometimes people will say, you know, well, I'm glad to hear you apologize. Yeah, it did hurt my feelings. Kind of want to turn it around and kind of give them a little before everything is smooth. That's a pride thing. Just, not a problem. Don't worry about it. Not a problem. No, really, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Really, it's not a problem. I forgot about it. Did it really hurt you? Listen, I forgot about it. And before you know it, you're getting mad. You know, drop it. Just drop it. You know. I'm pretty sure that's why the Lord says in Psalm 168, just don't get offended in the first place. That's pretty hard when it's your feelings, you know. Well, just get over it. What would the devil like to do in your life? He'd like to quench the spirit, keep you from getting some victory. What else do you suppose the devil would like us to do? Grieve the spirit. The devil can't do anything about this kind of stuff, but he can get us to grieve the spirit. You know, if I want to get Tyler in trouble, but I can't, he's just too smart and he stays out of this trouble thing, but if I can get him to grieve his parents, make his parents hurt their feelings, well, then I can't get it Tyler, but I can get it Louie. So I'll do it through Tyler. Or something. The grieving thing is a thing that's grieving me today, to think that I've grieved the Spirit. You know? What's the Spirit done for you? Has He showed anything in that Bible that's deeper than Adam and Eve? You know? In fact, Adam and Eve can get pretty deep if you look into that thing. You know, your question tonight, you know, about that thing with Judas and stuff, you know, you go a couple notches deeper, find out why these people asking that question. They really don't want to know the answer. They're asking questions like that to disprove the book. See, look at that right there. See that thing about Judas. There's two different ways that he died. See, you got a problem in your Bible, man. That's what they're after when people ask those kind of questions, probably. Yeah, I don't know the case. But there's another one. What are some of the standard questions? Saul, when he died, did he go to heaven? That's classic. I get letters from people sometimes, and I just know that they've been taught to ask those questions. Well, why? I just write people back and say, listen, well, the guy in the radio program, what about the word Easter? That's a mistranslation. Way back on the Promise Keeper radio program umpteen years ago. Wish I could do that again. That was a sad thing. And I said, now, if I give you the answer, it's answerable. If I give you the answer, will you believe it? But I'm not going to type this long. It's a long answer. It's pretty lengthy. And I can't just answer the whole thing. I don't have it all memorized, but I can show you the answer. Will you believe me? Oh, sure. Liar. He didn't care about the answer. To him, that question disproved the King James Bible. That question grieved the Holy Spirit. If the guy's even saved, I don't know. And then it was a while ago. We were at that Mexican joint. I think it's closed down now. Cactus something? Cactus Flats or whatever? What's that? Cactus Grill? Went in there one time, and there he was. You know? Oh, I wanted to ask him so badly. You know? But I didn't. What's the point of making a stink? If that would have been the answer, if he would have believed that answer, he would have written me back, he'd have called me back, and he would have said, man, I didn't know that. That's a great answer. That's true. That Bible is the Word of God, isn't it? And he was in charge. He was the manager. He was whatever you are of a radio station. He could have turned that radio station around, turned that into a Bible, believe in a radio station. We could have had our own radio program. That radio station doesn't exist now. Well, why? You know, must have his hardened heart had an anger response. You know, it still grieved the Lord. You see those three things, and the one in the middle, it still grieves the Lord, but he was angry at him, and he knew they had a hard heart, but he was still grieved. So there's times that we need to give people some hard answers, and it still grieves us, but we're right, and we're putting get back to Louis and Bill, Louis and Tyler again. You know, Louis has to put the grief on Tyler because he did something wrong. He drove the tractor into the side of a nice new SUV out here, you know. And Tyler knows he's got it coming. And Dad, being Dad, he just really lets him have it. But he's still grieved. Hopefully. Some parents aren't. They're not. You think? Like you were saying, you really think that some people wouldn't grieve a parent that's just letting them have their kid, to hate their kid so bad they're just not grieved about it at all? I think there's parents like that all over the place. I think it's getting more than they used to be. Isn't that amazing? He's angry. We got a hard heart. But he's still grieving. You get mad at your kid, you're still grieving. The Holy Spirit grieving over things that we don't let him do. This has called guilt. You know. I saw a commercial the other day on that stupid tube, and it was a kid talking to his dad about smoking. Dad, don't you love me? And you know, blah, 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 blah. And just put a huge guilt. I hate those kind of, a kid has no, you know, little kids, teaching little kids to do that kind of stuff. And at the very end, you know what the address for the URL, the linked address to that outfit was? www.guilt.com. I mean, that is their intent, to teach their kids how to put their parents on a guilt trip. You know, and that's just the wrong way to go about it. You know, if the Lord always wanted to put us on a guilt trip, I think we'd have quit doing this a long time ago. Sometimes I think we put ourselves on it. We ought to. You know, if this is a Catholic church, I'd go into that little back room back. I'd have you come back to that little room one at a time. I'd have you tell me, what'd you do today that caused the Holy Spirit to be grieved? You know. Well, Pastor, shh, they can all hear you. Soft. It's like this. Today I wanted, and it really grieves him, didn't it? Yeah, you hurt his feelings. You grieved him. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, that's true. The Bible says not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, enough of that. Mark that thing in Mark chapter 3, 1 to 5, because that is where the Lord put something on somebody really hard. They're looking to kill him, and he's still grieved. Well, let's look at some of these things here. How far did we get? Did we get as far as comforts us so that we can comfort others? We probably... Okay. Well, okay, then let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at that. Let's look at some of these things here. Now, keep in mind, that is guilt. That is a guilt trip now. Let's look at these things and wonder. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is classic verses here. This is the difference between you and a lost person. And you can't even show this to a lost person, though. They'll just get mad at you. But if they ask you, here's your answer. Why do you get something out of the Bible? Why don't they when they read it? Well, it starts at verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And the man doesn't know what God's done for us. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It isn't because you study. It isn't because blah, 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 blah. It's only because God gives it to us by the Spirit. Okay, so if you're not getting anything out of your Bible reading or understanding or wisdom, anything like that, you can still be getting knowledge of your Bible, but not to get the deep things of God, the things that God really has prepared for us. In fact, we did a sermon a couple of years ago, all the things that God has prepared for us. It was a city, it was a kingdom, it was an understanding, it was all sorts of little things. And if we don't get anything out of our Bible reading, we must be grieving and quenching the Spirit. Because it is only by the Spirit that he gives us this stuff. So, when you don't get anything out of your Bible reading, and we can get frustrated and kind of sad over the thing, just think what the Lord's doing. He'd love to show us some of the... what is it that you don't understand about your Bible here? What are some of the questions you have about whatever? Life in general, or that thing, that stuff that lady's going through? You know, how do people get involved in those things? How can I help her? You know the Lord would love, I really believe the Lord would love to give us all these answers. But we're just living in a day and age where the Spirit is quenched. Just by either through what we have going on in our homes, the television or music or whatever, just by what it is that we wear or who we're around or what we have in our house, or, I mean, what you've been thinking about lately, what you thought about last night, or just whatever goes on, how do we grieve and quench the Spirit? We just go again, we stop him from doing these things, and we think that we're unhappy because we're not getting anything. The Lord is grieved because he can't give something to us. I'll pick on you. You don't suppose that your mother was ever grieved because she couldn't get something across to you? She was probably mad and angry, probably not Nancy, but... You know, there had to have been grief in there. Grief. You grieve over John. I mean, there's things you want John to get and not to do and whatever. And it's just not the old hardcore parent thing. Yeah, deep down, we still grieve when we see them getting hurt. I could never go in. I don't think I've ever gone. I did one time, but I had to leave. I can't go into an accident room with my kids. It always had to be my wife. I cannot stand to see my kids in a painful, hurtful situation. I just grieve. Even in the Marines, when David was in some of those really down moments of his, I said, David, you have no idea how much that grieved me. He said, Dad, why did it grieve you? I'm all right. I said, oh, you're all right, but I'm over here. I'm not even in the situation. I grieved for him some of those times that he was really, really down, you know. Well, the Holy Spirit, is his job is to teach us and reveal to us. Keep reading through that whole thing. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? And it goes on through that whole thing. It's all from the Spirit. So then we get some of these guys that live the kind of life that doesn't grieve the Spirit as much. And they teach us some pretty strange things, don't they? There's some things that are taught there that are kind of like, man, where did he get that? How did he learn that? Well, maybe the Lord taught this guy something that he's not able to teach you. I used to think Dr. Ruckman was wrong in some areas. And now I found out that he was. Actually, he was. Acts 16:24 is the biggest one I've ever seen. And yet, you know, he knows some things that I just don't know. And I used to think that he was wrong in some things. You know what I found out? I found out that he was right, too. As I got older and got into my Bible, read it more, and got into some things. Oh, look at that. Oh, I was taught that 5 years ago. I never got it then. I guess I must have been grieving the Spirit. Or there's the other possibility. You weren't ready for it. That's the last chapter of John. The Lord says, I got some stuff for you, but I can't even begin to tell. You'll just choke to death on that thing. And we have to keep that in mind, too. Sometimes we're not getting stuff because we're grieving the Lord. We just can't chew it. You know. No examples. I get to see on tape here. Let's keep going. That goes all the way down to the end of the chapter. That's a fun one. I love that section in there. Let's go here to Acts chapter 9, I think. Let's look at the next one. You know, it's one thing to go to bed at night and your husband or your wife is mad. But it's different when you've hurt their feelings. You know? Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Let's see if it's a 9 or a 4. It must be 9. Yep, there we go. This next column here, this next one here, is comforts us so we can comfort others also. So there's two different sections we can look at. One is he comforts us. And Acts chapter 9, verse 31 is kind of an interesting one here, where it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. We learned something, amen. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That's pretty neat. Now, there's your church. Then had the churches, plural, local churches. There are examples in the Bible of local churches, more in Acts than anywhere. But that's a different direction. Just want us to see that the comfort of the Holy Ghost gave those churches rest. If we just trust the Lord, this church, we just ought not sweat things, right? Trust the Lord. How do we trust? We're actually trusting the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost here. Okay, that's kind of a background. But let's go to the classic one. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And while you're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go to John chapter 6, John chapter 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then John chapter 14. We don't have much to say about John chapter 14 because it's only too obvious. John chapter 14, verse 16. That's the classic of all classics. And I will pray to the Father, and he should give you another comforter, capital C, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. See why the people can't even handle the King James Bible. An unsaved person cannot handle it, because it's truth, and they can't even get it. They can't receive it. You can't even give it to them. You ever argued with an unsaved person, and not getting anywhere? You know what we do when we do that? We're wasting our time. And it's hard not to, isn't it? I'm talking with myself included, because I enjoy having the answers for people. Don't you have some friends that you know what they need? You know what the Bible could do for them? You know what the Lord could do for them? And you show it to them, and they still don't get it. That's the verse that tells us. They're not going to get it. They can't receive it. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. So we know that the Holy Spirit is comfort. He is our comfort. He's a comforter. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it's verse 4, but the context of that thing is about the Lord. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's a bum deal, because I don't know how to, I won't know how to comfort Jeannie if Richard were to die over this thing. I haven't lost anybody like that. But maybe some of you have. Maybe somebody over there has. Maybe Jeannie's going to go through this thing so she can be helpful to somebody that loses somebody. I don't know. Some of you have been through some things I haven't been through. I've been through some things you haven't been through. And I've gotten some victory. I got some victory. No, the Lord got the victory. But it had to, you know, it had to be there. You know. It's too bad that we're not willing to listen to somebody who's been there. Children and their parents. No, I know how to do it, Dad. Come on. How you did it, Dad, is not right. I know how to do this. And the dad's going, whatever. Go ahead. And he gets his hand smashed. Well, I could have told you, you know. But no, you had to go. Have you gone your way? You ever done it your way instead of? I've done it my way instead of. You ever done it your way instead of? Now, sometimes you're probably right. We're willing. We can, yeah, okay. I'm enjoying where David's at right now, and I just said to Marilyn, just God will show him some stuff. He showed me some stuff. Got him through there. Got him through the boat. Got him through the wharf. God will get him through some stuff. You're right. Church, some of the teaching. If David's in his Bible, God showed me, God will show him. And as soon as David ever asks me, I'll tell him. And he's asked. But if I'd have told him before he asks, sometimes he's made it look like he's listened. They have to want, you know. Yeah. So, God will use us if we allow him to comfort us through whatever it is. He will allow us to help somebody else. Lewis and Sue have had teenagers in their life. Did you guys, your kids go through teenhood? Did you skip those years?
No, we didn't skip.
You had to go through it, huh? See, now, you know, you all can talk to these guys, and they'll kind of tell you how they get through the teen thing. You know? And when Tyler, he grew up past the teen thing, you can go back and tell a teenager, just like David and Beck would say to you, or to your girl, or, you know. So, been there, and you're going to go, you have no idea. No, I've been there. I know why you're even saying that. You know, I was a teenager even one time. That's an amazing thing. You know? My dad didn't know anything. You know your dad knows a few things. I didn't think my dad knew anything. He knew a couple things. Well, I thought he drove horribly. Just horribly. You know what I catch myself driving? Like my dad. Oh, that's just irritating. Just, you know. I find myself pulling up to stop signs, looking one way, and then drive off as I look the other way. Which is no big deal to me because I can stop. But I remember sitting in the car with my dad, and I'd watch him, because I'm already mad at him. And he would come to the corner, he would stop, then he would look this way, and as he looked this way, he'd drive off. Scare me to death. You know? And now I'm doing it. I've learned what it's like to ride with somebody and be scared to death. David has driven me around in Rocky Mountain now for a week and a half there. And it actually scared me. And all the time that I'm thinking this, I mean, all the time that I'm going through this fear, I'm realizing I have done this to other people. I must have scared people riding with me. It's really frightful. Stop right there. Or not even to look and go through something. Yeah, David, it's just scary. Well, I can learn to help somebody else. So, Tyler, let me tell you about some things, you know. Oh, Tyler, go. You know nothing. Have something happen in your life that you can help somebody with? You have. You got kids. Have you found anybody you want to hear yet? Oh, okay, I'm ahead of myself. Okay, I'm sorry. Couple more years. You know. Anyway. There is one more we can look at, 2 Timothy chapter 2, along those lines. God will show you something if you're going to give it to somebody else, but you would make that real quick, because we talked about this 1,000,000,000 times, 2 Timothy 2, 2. All the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God will show you something, whether it be comfort or whatever it's going to be, if you're going to show it to somebody else. Which tells me that if you're not willing to tell somebody else, you're going to keep it to yourself. What do you think? I'll bet you. What do you think? I bet you won't show anything. Right? What's the point? You're not going to do anything with it anyway. He's going to find somebody that wants to do something with it. So, I may be gone on a Sunday sometime, Bob. You know, should we just give you the next one automatically? Don't know when it will be. And then you can say, Lord, show me something. And I'll show it to somebody else. Show me something, please. You know, Louis's been there. Didn't you, from what I learned on the thing, you didn't have much up until even that day. Remember what you're talking about. Jeff kind of gave you a spark.